This is exactly right.
On the 12th season of Tenfold More Wicked, we investigate a series of compelling mysteries from the city of Fall River, Massachusetts, where problems started generations before Lizzie Borden's murders made her a household name. Join me as we cover the misfortunes that have befallen this infamous town for more than 150 years, including the Great Fire of 1843. Season 12 premieres Monday, May 13th on Exactly Right. Follow Tenfold More Wicked on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sounds like
scary.
Bless the Rains down in Africa. What's that one?
It does. Wait.
Steven, it's good.
What if it has like seven?
And he's just beatboxing over it.
Hold on.
Yeah.
Steven, I love it. How many minutes long is this?
It just fades out with this.
So. Man, put that up on something. My face is burning. I love it.
I miss making music, so it was just like, oh my gosh. And I'm moving.
Of course he did. He like heard a thing that we wanted, and he's like, not us, but like in life. This is why you're gonna fucking rule the world.
I'm very ready.
Karen, I'm very confused.
Did you guys talk about this before?
No, I have no idea what's going on.
But I wish you could see that from my point of view, how insane that was.
Steven is great.
Steven, you've done it.
You did it.
Steven, you've really done it. Now, in the breakdown part where you're really kind of getting into it and you're really singing, mm-hmm. What was going through your head in that part when you were recording it?
I just, like, the samba part, and I was like, well, I got to make this an actual cover, so
yeah.
I just kind of vamped on the I didn't think of inventing new lyrics or anything.
No, but I'm saying like you did, but you really went for an unextended part where you kind of got emotional at the end.
Yeah, it's fun.
I don't know, I just kind of wanted
to. Let it out.
Yeah,
you just let out your feelings. Mm-hmm. Well, thank you so much.
I love it. Thanks.
All right.
Episode 51.
Play it again.
Now you're going to just make me play it over and over again.
Episode 51, the one they play it over and over and over again.
I just want to, like, verse after verse after verse where he's just like, I started working for them.
And then there's the breakdown where it's like, Elvis is meow, and it's like breaking it down. That's good. You're so red right now, Steven. You're the color of your red beanie. And I love it. And it's cute. And I love it, Steven. Yeah. You're being so quiet. Hey, this is My Favorite Murder.
Welcome to My Favorite Murder and Steven's reggae podcast.
Breaking the balls. What's up? Hi.
Hi.
That's Karen.
That's Georgia.
This is My Favorite Murder.
Do you like murder? You come to the right place.
Do you not like murder? Go away.
Give it a try.
Oh, go give it a try.
I mean, who knows?
Yeah, don't.
Everybody thinks they don't like murder.
Oh my god!
Till you hear a real good story about it.
Yeah. I hate that when they're like, "You're creepy, like murder," and like, "Well, I have this really interesting story." And you're like, "Everyone fucking loves murder.
People love a good story.
Like, come on, man.
Don't judge us."
Uh-uh.
This is just like Steven's theme song. Don't judge it until you get all the way through to the emotional.
Twice.
Yeah. You should listen to it twice for sure.
Listen to this podcast twice.
Please. And then stare at us while our face gets red.
I was listening to the last episode. I don't listen to a lot of episodes anymore because like it's just like hard. But I was listening to the last one just for quality control. and I was cleaning the house, and I just started, I had my earphones in, and Vince was like doing another thing, and I just started cracking up so loudly at some point with something that we talked about. Uh-huh. And it's like partly, it's funny, but it's also like, I'm laughing at how, like, how fun our friendship is, and like these things. Like, it's funny to me because I know what's going on. And he was like, "Are you okay?" And I had to take out my headphones and mean, like, I'm laughing at my own podcast. I'm sorry.
Have you ever had the thing where your podcast starts? Like, I never close windows on my phone correctly. Mm-hmm. So if I'm listening to our podcast in the car, and then I'll walk in somewhere, and then like in the grocery store, our podcast will start. So it's like me and my own podcast standing there trying to press, like the harder you touch it, the more it won't go off.
Yeah.
That's happened a couple times.
That's fun.
Yeah. We've all been pretty embarrassed.
We're all stupid idiots, and that's fine. Look how far we've come. Way to go.
Way to go, everybody.
Way to go, everyone. We did it together. So this is episode 51, and my bags are packed, and I'm ready to go. And this is the last episode. I mean, it doesn't matter to anyone. Like, we're just voices.
It matters to us, though.
It does. This is the last episode in the place where we have recorded 51 episodes.
Yeah, and it's going to, wherever we do it in your apartment, in your new apartment, is going to have a completely different feel.
It's weird.
And vibe, as opposed to this beautiful seafoam green kind of like retro situation that we've been in.
It's cozy and homey. Mm-hmm. There's no like hard angles.
Nope.
I don't know what that means, but it's like my apartment that I've been in. And I can't, like, normally, like, you'll record stuff and you're like, my apartment or yours? Like, just go to mine. Mine's a minute. Like, you'll do it back and forth and you'll go places. But this is every single fucking, except for live ones.
That's right.
I've been in this apartment.
It's always been here. Thank you for that. Thank you for opening your home.
I don't like leaving my house.
Yeah, it works out good in that way.
Yeah, I get to wear.
And also, if we did it at my house, it would just be 45 seconds, every 45 seconds barking.
Well, that would, then people would make memes of your dogs, Frank and George, barking instead of Elvis screaming his fucking head off.
Yeah, I don't know. It wouldn't be as good.
No.
Yeah. Well, it's the end of an era. It's also 2017, so good. Right. Like, new things. It's all about new energies, liminal space, what we've talked about already.
Yeah.
What can come out of being in a totally new spot.
Yeah, vibes are involved, probably.
I bet vibes are totally involved.
And, like, good ones, I hope?
Well, we'll see. We'll see.
And if not, then we'll move.
Then you have to get a new apartment.
Fine. Fair.
Or move back into this apartment.
Oh, my God. I'm sad. I'm going to miss this place. Vince proposed to me right there.
Shit.
Yeah.
Take a picture before you go.
It wasn't a great proposal, though, so it's okay.
Should we
edit that out?
Snip that part out?
No. He fucking knows. No, I'm kidding. I mean, he didn't. Yeah. No. 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 He had stomach flu. It wasn't a great. It's fine. All right. So I cried.
You weren't in the hot air balloon like you wanted to be.
Well, it was basically in a hot air balloon, but it was, oh my God. Okay. Hey, what's crapping in? What corner? Did you watch Menendez Brothers?
No.
It's fucked up. It was good.
Was it?
Yeah. It was just like an hour long thing about the trial and the murder and stuff.
Some people are saying it was amazing. Would you use the word amazing?
No, it was like an extended 2020 episode.
What new information was revealed that I wouldn't have known in 96?
Well, none.
Oh.
But you'd look at it from a new angle. And my angle that I looked at it from, which I thought was interesting, is like the Menendez brothers argued that the dad was molesting them.
Right.
But then went in like this crazy other direction of how the mom was molesting them too. And he molested, like, it got crazy, but you could kind of tell the little part that was actually true in my mind.
Yeah.
And the stuff that they just exaggerated from them trying to play on that. And if they had just gone with the part that was true, which I think maybe the dad was molesting them, but they were also sociopaths, then maybe they wouldn't have gotten such extreme sentences.
That was your theory, or they talk about it?
That's my theory.
Oh. Did they talk about those wigs at all?
Yeah, I didn't know.
For real?
He had a toupee.
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
And he was so young to have a toupee.
One of the brothers, who they both just look like, mad magazine characters.
But it was Lyle had the toupee, right?
Yeah.
The older brother.
The older brother had toupee. Older brother said he molested the younger brother.
Oh, no.
In court and apologized. And when you see their faces when supposedly they're telling the truth, it's so different than when they're lying.
Really?
That's what I like. I would say watch it just for the testimony alone.
Okay.
Like, it's so interesting to see. They seem like such creepy fucking narcissistic sociopaths, which I know everyone hates that when we use those terms, but they seem creepy and lying and it's full of shit until there's this one part that could be true.
Oh, okay.
And then it's like
it just resonates.
Yeah.
Where you're looking at it, you're going, I don't think this person is doing the thing he was just doing.
Exactly.
With that other bullshit.
They're broken all of a sudden, and then they're back to normal, and it's like they're just like lying.
I mean, look, I get it would make sense because it's one thing, like killing your parents so that you can have money is one thing, but like machine gunning down your parents or whatever, didn't they have some crazy gun?
Yeah, and the other thing about that too is that like if they had just done it to their father, they might have gotten a pretty lenient sentence if they had said like he was molesting us for years and we were traumatized.
Right.
But they like kind of chased down the mom.
Yeah.
And everyone was like, that part to them was like, how could you kill your mother? And so they made up this, I think they made up the story about the mom molesting them too, when really I think they were just pissed off that she never cared or did anything about it.
Right.
It's just really, it's, I mean, this is all made up shit, obviously, but.
Yeah. It's your theory.
This is all my theory.
Right. But it's based on, you've listened to 1 million podcasts about it and watched 1 million crime shows about it. And, there was also the thing of how that father, Jose, was just a big fucking bully.
Yeah.
And so it was like she was bullied herself. But yeah.
Yeah. It's ugly. The whole thing is ugly.
There's definitely no clear lines except for the fact that, here's the thing. You murder them, but then you just go on a fucking spending spree.
Yeah.
I mean, they just didn't do anything right.
No, not at all.
I guess I don't like that one because it's just greed. I hate the greed-based ones.
There's a lot that I don't, of those that I don't like until I watch something a little more interesting about them and then like them. And this is one of them where, like, I didn't give a shit. We just happened to catch it and then I liked it.
So it must have been produced kind of well.
Yeah. No, it was done really well. It was just, like, wasn't, you know, one of the, like, JonBenet ones that are, like, fucking crazy and insane. And they...
Did you see that picture? My friend Molly just sent out a birthday invitation.
Oh, Molly Mackler. Yes, I got it.
Did you see that fucking picture?
I responded to her.
I was like,
our friend Molly Mackler, Malls online.
She just sent, it's a picture of JonBenet and
Burke. It's a birthday invitation. And it's like, it's not even an invitation. All it says is, hey, I'm going to be here on this day. I'm turning this age. But it's, what is it?
Are we blowing up her spot right now?
Yeah, but we're plugging her. What's her podcast called, Stephen?
Mother May I Sleep With Podcast.
Right. She does a podcast about fucking crazy Lifetime movies. It's great. So we're fucking blowing her up right now. Yeah.
No, I'm just saying her birthday party.
Oh, we didn't say where it was.
Anyway, it's a picture of JonBenet and her brother Burke, and the eyes are scratched out of Burke and the mouth is scratched out, which looks like, it basically looks like JonBenet did the scratching,
right?
Like it was a found photo, and that's what I assumed it was.
Yeah.
That like someone found that photo in the Ramsey's house.
I really appreciated it. I appreciated it. Its subtlety.
But do you think it was a found photo, or do you think someone did that?
That's a photo that's like known
to have been made by not anybody in that house.
Not the scratches. The photo of it's JonBenet unwrapping presents and Burke smiling at the camera.
Right.
Which I've seen before a million times. So she probably did it herself.
Molly did.
Yeah, or she found it online.
Got it.
But that's not how it actually looked.
Okay, because if that's how they found it.
Oh my God.
If you were the cop that found that picture, wouldn't you just start fucking screaming at the top of your lungs?
Yes.
I mean, it's so sinister.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's good. Yeah. So go to that birthday party.
Good luck. Here's where it's at. Right. Get your pencil.
Here's her home phone number.
Get your razor blade ready to write down in your arm where this is at. We were going to talk about people. So there was someone who made a Yellow Pages ad for My Favorite Murder. Right?
Mm-hmm.
That we both loved. And it's AW Sweet Baby Angle. And it says, do you want it? And it looks like a real Yellow Pages ad of Karen and I looking like we're lawyers. It's on our Instagram page. And then I don't know if you saw this one, Karen, but someone else made one and actually put it in the paper. So this girl named Sarah R, her sister, she's an editor of a small town paper, and they did a review of the play Squeeze My Cans about Scientology. And so she had to write a story about it, and she was going to do a teaser on the front page that she had to do to like be like, to go to the, to read about this, go to page 17 or whatever the fuck. And she wrote, like, to go to page 17, here's the teaser.
Oh my God.
It just says, you're in a cult, call your dad.
Oh my God. Page that's 15. Hilarious.
That's, just randomly.
This one's real.
Yeah.
Because Georgia sent me the picture of the Yellow Pages ad and goes, look at someone put in their Yellow Pages.
I thought it was real.
And then I look at it and I couldn't stop laughing because I was like, that's insane. Yeah. Who would take the time to do that? And then like probably 45 seconds later, you're back. Wait a second. That's not real. Like, wait, hold on a second.
Cool. I don't,
it's, but it looks dead on.
It does.
I mean, it looks like the illustration I really appreciate. First of all, they made me look good in a blazer, dude, which I never do.
We look fucking business cash hot.
It's business cash hot. I have a waist. It's exciting. In the illustration's very exciting in that way. But then I was like, fuck yeah, if someone put this in a Yellow Pages, yeah, I'm down for looking like this in the
Yellow
Pages.
It looks like one
pages.
Of those ads of like, do you need a cheap lawyer? And it says, do you want to stay sexy, not get murdered, get a job, buy your own shit, stay out of the forest, not be a fucking lunatic, called Karen and Georgia, call now, space is limited. And it's just like us with our arms crossed looking at how to suck. But this one's about Scientology. So the lead is, you're in a cult, call your dad.
So good.
Isn't that great? I love it. Anything else you want to talk about? The Yellow Pages, New Detectives is on Amazon. I tried watching it. It's okay, I guess.
Sorry, what?
I'm sorry. What?
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. What? It's okay.
Goodbye.
Goodbye. It's fine. It's fine.
Okay.
New Detectives? It's on Amazon.
It's not New Detective. It's Real Detective.
Fuck. Why do I keep calling it that?
But did you see the right one?
Yes. Okay. Yes. I saw Real Detective.
It's first person detectives.
Yes.
Telling their story.
Yes.
Which do you remember the case you watched?
I watched the first three. The one about the fucking kid and the like dude, like baby killer and little boy killer in Seattle is fucked up as shit.
Yes.
I just think that the reenactments and all this shit takes so long to tell the story. Mm-hmm. And they kind of like, you see 8 minutes of them watching the like CCTV footage of the kid running by, and then you finally see the car. Like, it's just, it could be 30 seconds of that. And it kind of drives me crazy when it's like, takes forever.
Oh, okay.
Like, there's a lot, I think, reenactments are just a tool to make the episode longer in a lot of shows.
Or to tell the story. I mean, I like it because it actually tells that story where they're basically trying to do it like, this is my first person experience with solving this case. And anytime, it's just like, you're not your bag. Because like anytime you're doing a first person thing, you have to be able to cut away to something besides that person telling you that story.
But at the same time, they made the guy look stupid where he was like, he see the kid run by and he's like, okay, that's not him, damn it, and walks away. And I'm like, check the time on the CCTV footage. It says 11:30. You'd go back to the fucking bank and be like, is the time correct on this? And then like in 20 minutes later, they realize it's not the right time. And then
it's not the right time in real time. It's that the bank thing, it didn't update for like daylight saving. So it was
saying. You should check. He would have checked that and he wouldn't have just stopped watching when it was the wrong time. He would have still like, it's just like it's a lot of fucking filler, and I can't sit through that.
Okay.
I know.
I'll never recommend that to you again.
I just can't with reenactments.
Well, yeah, that's not your thing.
No.
Yeah.
No.
No. That's actually the one I like the best.
Yeah.
Because that case is fucking crazy. I've never heard it before.
Me neither.
That guy, the way he finds that guy and the way it all goes down is so horrifying.
Yeah.
And he basically catches the guy in the act. It's such a good story.
The stories are super cool. It's the
dramatization.
Yeah.
Don't
dig.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I do.
Thank you. Merch corner, apology corner, fucking, we good?
Yeah. What do you have?
Nothing.
Yeah. I mean, go to
myfavoritemurdershirts.com or myfavoritemurder.com.
If you're like me, you're always looking for a story to dive into. Whether it's a family drama or a mystery to solve, the key to getting hooked is the details. I need rich visuals and intricate storylines, and June's Journey has that and more. June's Journey is a mobile mystery game that follows June Parker, a daring young woman, on a quest to uncover the truth about her sister's murder. This is your chance to test your detective skills because you'll play the game as June herself. Explore beautifully designed scenes from the 1920s, like lavish estates and gardens, and don't forget to keep an eye out for hidden clues. There are twists, turns, and catchy tunes, all leading you deeper into the thrilling storyline. And if you play well enough, you could make it to the Detective Club. There, you'll chat with other players and compete with or against them. June needs your help, but watch out, you never know which character might be a villain. Shocking family secrets will be revealed, but will you crack the case? Find out as you escape this world and dive into June's world of mystery, murder, and romance. It's all just one tap away. Discover your inner detective when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. That's June's Journey. Download the game for free on iOS and Android. Goodbye.
Georgia, have you ever been blown away by the most simple dish at a restaurant, like perfectly scrambled eggs?
Oh my God, yes, Karen. And then all I want to do is make that dish at home and eat it every day.
Well, you probably could, as long as you have the chef's secret ingredient, Made In cookware.
Made In was created to bring restaurant quality performance kitchenware to home chefs around the world.
For years, they've built their business by supplying restaurants and top chefs with high-end cookware. Some of Tom Colicchio's most treasured dishes at his restaurant Kraft are made in Made In.
Whether you're cooking for professional critics or just the critics you live with, your meals will benefit from the quality of Made In products.
Like their carbon steel cookware, it combines the best of both cast iron and stainless steel clad, so it's rugged enough for grills or an open flame. It's the MVP of summer cookouts and cook-ins. What I really love about Made In cookware is that it actually makes something like having a Memorial Day barbecue much more convenient, because you can keep everything on the grill. If you need to throw, say, a pan of garlic up on the top while you're grilling your steaks on the bottom, it's strong enough, durable enough to do that.
If you want to take your cooking to the next level, remember what so many great dishes have in common. They're all made in, Made In.
Save up to 25% this Memorial Day from May 18th through May 27th when you visit madeincookware.com.
That's M-A-D-E-I-N cookware.com. Goodbye.
But the good news is, this week I wanted to get back to the thing I like to do the best, which is retell and I Survive.
Yeah.
Which is a first-person show that does not use reenactments.
Yay.
But also, this is one of the ones, as I was writing this up, I realized when we've talked in the past about how I cannot listen to 911 calls, This is the one time that I've listened to a 911 call that it insanely enhanced the story. So it wasn't just like some lunatic person screaming in panic and like a horror thing that immediately makes you go, oh my God, everyone's in danger. Mm-hmm. It's like the perfect, most, the fact that they even have it to run during the story is incredible. So Anyway, I'll just tell you what it was. This is the attempted murder of Jennifer Holliday and the murder of Anna Franklin.
Oh my God.
And it happened in, this is from season 2, episode 6 of I Survive. So anyway, if you haven't heard this, I love the show I Survived. It's now in reruns. I think they're rerunning it on Lifetime, but you can also get it on something else, whatever. I think they're also on YouTube. But I like to every once in a while remember ones that just stuck with me and talk about them. Because I do love a survivor, and I love the first person. I do love a first person tale of insane horror.
And does it make you like calm down a little bit, because you know, like whatever bad happens, like you can still get back to the person and they're not dead.
They're not fucking dead.
Yeah. So it's like, okay to be into it.
Yes, exactly. Okay. You're not going straight down like we do at the end of an episode. Sometimes we're just like, oh,
and then
great.
They got murdered.
Yes, exactly. This is, no matter what's happening, you're still looking at the person.
It's like triumphant, you know that.
Absolutely. And a lot of the time, because it's, I would say 80% women telling these stories, yeah, and they're telling you stories where you're like, holy fucking shit. Yeah. And they're telling you, you know, just fine, telling you the story, yeah, of this thing that happened, that they survived, that they've gotten through, and they're there to tell you that story. And
yeah, like you're like, I would never get out of a fetal position if this happened to me, and they're like, yes, you would. And
yes, you absolutely would
fucking deal with it.
And that, because that's life, and life goes on, yeah, and everybody does, like, not everybody does this, but the people who experience extreme trauma continue to live and sometimes even flourish afterwards and help other people because, yeah, of it. So that's why I get super like a weird Christian about it, because I'm just like, let me fucking ring all those bells.
Dude, it's motherfucking resiliency and shit.
So I like this one too, because it's fucking exactly like a 70s horror movie. It is, when you see it and you hear it, and I recommend that you watch it.
Are they at camp?
It's, no.
Are they camping?
No, but kind of close. It's like that feel. So basically it's this. It's May 25th, 2005. And May 29th, 2005. Jennifer Holliday is driving down Highway 69 and near, it's just north of Lufkin, Texas, with her 17-year-old cousin, Anna Franklin. They're in an SUV going 70 miles an hour, and all of a sudden there's the fucking loudest bang in the world. She doesn't even know what happened. They pull, there's glass and blood everywhere all of a sudden, and they pull over, and her cousin starts screaming, and she looks down and her left arm has been shot. She's been shot through the window of her car, and her left arm is almost severed, like right above the elbow.
Holy fuck.
So her cousin's losing her shit, of course, and she is an EMT.
Fuck
so
yeah.
So she goes super calm and is like, pull out your phone, call 911 right now. You know, basically is like, calm down, stop screaming, whatever.
Yeah.
What they don't realize is there was a man who was driving next to them, and he was the one who shot at them. Oh, and he pulls over and he walks up to the open driver's side window, reaches in past Jennifer, grabs the phone out of Anna's hand, and just tosses it away, and he's laughing. And she says, right then, she was like, I got real scared. And so he basically, he backs up. He's got a shotgun in his hands, and they're both just kind of staring at him. He like takes a couple steps backwards, picks up the shotgun.
Oh my God. Oh my God.
And just shoots into the car. And Jennifer said in this show, it's like a tracer where she sees the bullet go by her face. Like it just goes right by the front of her face.
Slow-mo.
And shoots Anna in the head and kills her.
Fuck. Wait, this is the older chick or the younger one?
The younger chick gets shot in the head and killed.
Fuck.
It's her cousin. So.
Oh my God.
So then he pulls Jennifer out of the car. And she's like, what the fuck
and
is going on?
Her arm's almost blown off.
Her arm is like hanging off. And he puts her into his car.
Jesus.
And they start driving up the highway.
This is a fucking Mary Vincent tale all over again.
It's fucking, it's insane, but it's also this kind of thing where it's like, you can see it if like shot, you can see it shot all grainy, yeah, in like 8mm where you're like, what the fuck? And it's like, when she tells the story, it's like the guy's laughing. It's stuff where you're
who? Fuck? What state is this or what county?
Texas. Fuck. It's north of Lufkin, Texas.
Okay.
I don't know what the county
is. What the shit, man?
We are in what part of Texas is. Apparently, it's a big place.
Okay.
So they're just driving like 90 miles an hour out of town. They drive and drive. So now she says there's no one around. There's no lights. There's no houses. There's no one anywhere.
Oh, my God.
And at one point, he pulls her out of the car. He pulls over, pulls her out of the car, pulls her into the woods, and rapes her. Then when he's finally done and he's like ripped all her clothes off and everything, he does the thing where he's like, all of a sudden, then he starts crying.
Yeah.
Then he looks at her and goes, oh my God, you're bleeding. What happened?
What?
And then he starts laughing and she realizes, okay, this person is either on drugs, like something is seriously fucking wrong with this guy, and I need to get myself out of here. So she fucking comes up with this plan. And this is the part where we're like, this is why you fucking hang in through the commercial and you're like, what the fuck?
Well, this is so interesting too, because like, it's not like she's just like, I don't know what this guy's capable of. She knows her cousin is dead back in the fucking car. She knows what this dude is capable of. There's no like, she knows there's no fucking...
She knows we're in complete emergency mode and something must be done.
Yeah.
And she sees his weakness. That's the thing. Is it a person acting like that? She realizes there could be some play here. She could do something about the situation that she's in.
Yeah.
So what she starts doing, and it's so fucking brilliant, is she starts, the way she says it, because she has her Texan accent, she's like, I start rubbing up on him and acting like I really like him and saying, basically saying, thank you for saving me. And in it, you're so nice, and like being flirty and sweetie, and he immediately reacts and is like into it. So she's basically convinces him he didn't attack her. She's treating him like the hero and saying, I can't believe you saved me from that man. Thank you so much. Thank you so much. You're my hero. And oh my God, I just want to, can we go back to your house?
What the fuck?
Cause she's thinking in her head.
Yeah.
They're in the, for right now, they're in the middle of fucking nowhere. There's not a person to be found. There's not a light. So at least if he drives her to his house, there will be a phone, or there will be at least one other person,
or a knife she can fucking stab him
something.
Yeah,
which is brilliant.
Yes,
she's just like, get me out of this spot now. Yes. And also, clearly you're on drugs or something's going on with you where you can be manipulated. Totally. So she fucking goes for it, and it works. He gets her back into the car.
Fuck.
And he's like, I can drive you to my house, but here's the thing. Don't be bad, and don't do what the bad people do, because you'll pay. And this hint. And she's like, I won't. I promise. Why would I? And she'd be like, I'm so grateful to you. Yeah. You've helped me so much. And then he's like believing what she's saying.
Oh my God.
And then he would like look at her and be like, oh my God, you're covered in blood. And she'd be like, I know, I need help really badly. And so she's basically doing this. They get to his house. He turns down the road into a cemetery.
Oh fuck.
I mean, if you fucking wrote this, it'd be like, change the cemetery part. That's crazy.
Just go to a house.
They're driving into an old cemetery.
And she's like, shit.
She's sitting naked, covered in blood, and like, where are we going?
Oh my God.
They go down a hill a little bit, and there's like two trailers on either side, and one of them is his. So they go down into this kind of thing past the cemetery, and this is where he lives.
Sounds chill.
So
that's where I'm moving. Oh, didn't tell you that this is my new apartment.
Oh, that's your new spot?
Uh-huh.
Good. Because just for like, just to be around.
Shits and gigs, man.
Right. Good plan. So he takes her into the house, and he actually lets her use the phone.
No.
Yeah. He's like, she's convinced him it has worked, and he now believes that he helped her.
Oh my God.
So here's the fucking 911 call part.
Oh my God, you hear it?
Yes. It is, you have to watch this episode because.
Can you play it for us?
No, dude. She is so calm. And she's like, hi, yeah, I got shot, and this man helped me so much. He is sitting right here in front of me, and he helped me so much. And I really need help, and I need someone to come and help me, but this man helped me and saved me. And the woman's like, ma'am, did you say you were shot? And she's like, yeah, and I need help. And so she's doing this thing where the words she's saying mm-hmm. don't match her tone of voice. Mm-hmm. And the woman on the other line, it only takes her like mm-hmm. three exchanges, and she's like, what the fuck? So the woman goes, are you saying you were shot? She's like, yeah, and I need help. And this man helped me so much. This man right here in front of me. And then she goes, ma'am, are you not from around here? And she goes, no, And he's here. So I'm safe with him. I'm here with him. And I need you to send me an ambulance because I'm bleeding really bad. And then she hears the 911 operator. Someone else says something where it's like that shooting. And then she gets back on the phone. She said, and she, the 911 operator, I can't remember how it goes exactly, but it's basically like, she goes, the woman says something. She goes, did you say there's like something about a shooting? And she goes, uh-huh. He's here right now. And he's helping me so much. It's that one. It's the same one. Uh-huh. And she basically
it's
is
so
like,
creepy hearing you say it, by the way,
telling her,
oh my God,
in this like super pleasant voice, giving her these signals without letting on to the crazy man literally sitting in front of her.
Holy fuck.
That the shooter is sitting fucking in front of her.
Isn't it crazy that if he were a little less crazy, this wouldn't have worked?
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yes. Like if whatever angel dust or fucking thing he was on, totally, or whatever his deal
fucking
was.
Brain abnormality.
But he actually, the way she played it, and when you hear her this 911 call, you understand how it worked. Because she's not, yeah. I'm actually doing too much energy.
Yeah.
She's like, almost kind of like chill like this. Dude. Where it's like, yeah, I just need, and yep, that's it, yeah. And doing that
chill as fuck.
Fucking thing. So,
oh my God.
So she says, just need an ambulance or whatever. So she can't, they can't figure out where she is because they're, it's not like a trace, whatever. He ends up getting on the phone. And they have that 911, that portion of the 911 call.
No.
Where he's giving the 911 operator directions to his house.
How the fuck does he not know? Like, how does that happen?
Because he was out of his fucking mind on drugs.
He was on drugs?
And drunk.
Oh.
But I think it's the drugs and maybe something else. He had
his brain's already
a
broken.
Crazy rap sheet. He had been in jail a ton of times. Lots of fucking domestic violence. He had gotten into... His girlfriend had left him that night.
Oh, my God.
And he got drunk at a bar. And he said he did, like, Xanax or Paxlors, like, one single thing where I'm like, dude, you were on fucking angel dust. Yeah,
that's
like
a Tuesday for me, man.
Yeah. That's right. So anyway... The part of the recording, he's talking to the operator, saying how they should get to his house, and then going, yeah, and she's bleeding real bad. I mean, I got blood all over me, too, and I saved her, and I don't know. Like, you need to get someone here really fast. Like, he's completely been convinced.
Jesus.
And she goes, well, is she doing okay? And she's, the 911 operator is, like, sweet as pie. Mm-hmm. You would never know that she's talking to anybody except for the nice man that saved this woman. Mm-hmm. So he says, "Only you can only have an ambulance, no cops." And she's like, "No, of course not. I only want an ambulance. I just need to get this blood off me and get this thing taken care of."
Yeah.
He's like, "Okay." So then he gives her shorts and a shirt to put on so she doesn't have to walk outside naked.
Like, can you imagine being naked? Like, naked, too. It's, like, so vulnerable.
Naked and covered in blood.
Dude.
It is total horror movie.
Yeah.
She goes outside and she says she's lost so much blood at this point. And she's in the EMT, so she knows.
Yeah.
Like, she knows. And she says she's walking out. She sees the ambulance. So she's walking up this hill trying to get to the ambulance. Oh. And she's like, she goes, and I know I've lost so much blood because I can see the trees moving. What it was what? The fucking SWAT team in place. And she gets, like, out of range, and he is walking outside behind her.
Oh, my God.
Because he's, like, going to see her to the fucking ambulance. And then the second he gets far enough outside, the SWAT team just fucking goes down. He fights them. They take him down, and they arrest him.
They don't kill him? That's amazing.
No. They take him down.
That's amazing. You can't
just go. You're not supposed to just go shoot.
Right, but, like, you know, you'd think he'd fight back. And
no, he fought him, but they arrested him.
I mean, good for them.
They arrested him. and, oh, sorry. So he gets, I talked my way down off of this part of the document. He gets 2 life sentences. And then added on years for assault and kidnapping.
Mm-hmm.
It's 2 life sentences for capital murder, aggravated assault, and kidnapping. And when that show aired in 2007, she still had over 30 shotgun pellets lodged in her arm, neck, and chest.
2 years later that she did the show then.
Yes.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah, and she still had, like, shotgun pellets inside her from these shotgun blasts survived. Fucking crazy. She had a son. That,
like,
she
since then?
No. At the time, she was a single mother.
Oh.
And she said that she was thinking, like what it, she was positive she was gonna die in the cemetery house that she ended up at.
Yeah.
And so the fact that when she got on that 911 call, she got to talk to this woman who got her shit, who picked up on the game and fucking
city, man.
Did it. And because it's like basically the cops had come up upon Anna's dead body in that car.
Yeah, they knew
a situation had happened.
Totally.
And basically everybody hooked it all together. It's like best case scenario.
Totally.
For
we're looking for
situations.
This person, this girl is calling.
Yes,
this is what this is.
And then basically at the very end, Jennifer just says, I should have died that night. Like, it's a miracle of God that I lived. And I just want to say this. It's not a... God bless God. It's not a miracle of God, because she was instinctually smart. She fucking came up with a plan and she was brave enough to enact it and go for it and make it happen for herself. She did it. Like, she did it.
Yeah.
And yes, it worked out good, best case scenario, but it's like, that's a survivor's instinct that she had. Yeah. And she did it for herself.
I mean, yeah. Yeah. That's insane.
Yeah.
I wonder where she is now. Like, if she gonna, what's she doing now? Where's her kid? He's gotta be proud of her, right?
Yo, yeah.
Fuck, dude.
Pretty good.
It's a good one. What's her name again?
Her name's Jennifer Holliday.
Okay.
And her cousin who died, she was like in her late 20s, but her cousin who died was 17 when it happened, Anna Franklin.
Oh, honey. I'm sorry. R.I.P. I'm going to type in my password. What if I read it while I typed it in to my computer? I didn't. All right. You ready for mine?
I am.
Mine's a bummer. Get ready to be bummed. It's not a survivor story, but there is a positive ending to it. Something good happens out of it. Okay. So, Jesse Temendikos. He is born April 15th in 1961 in Piscataway, New Jersey. He claims that his mother was a promiscuous alcoholic, had 10 children by 7 different men, and that his dad was a violent drinker, and that his dad had sexually abused him and his brother all the time, and that they once saw their dad rape a 7-year-old girl.
What the fuck?
That's what they says. They said. And that the father tortured and killed pets, and that he once forced this guy Jesse and his brothers to eat their pet rabbit.
What?
Yeah. So in 1979, when this guy Jesse Temendikos is 18, he persuades 2 5-year-old girls to go off with him in search of ducks, is what he tells them. He took them by the hand and leads them towards an embankment. One of the girls fucking has some horrible feeling and takes off, leaves him with the other girl.
A little 5-year-old girl.
Yeah, she's like, fuck this, I'm going to get help.
Jesus.
But the other girl, they get to the bottom of the hill by the brook. He knocks her down. He pulls her pants down. And right at that moment, the girl who ran away had got a neighbor and they run up and fucking find him. So Jesse pleads guilty to the attempted aggravated sexual assault. In exchange for pleading guilty, he gets a suspended sentence as long as he agrees to get counseling he doesn't get it. And he's sent for punishment is sent for 9 months to the Middlesex Adult Correctional Center. 9 months because he said no to fucking counseling.
Yeah.
So in 1981, he's out and he lures a 7-year-old girl into the woods. Don't go in the fucking woods, with the promise of firecrackers, man. And again, this girl's with a friend, and this friend is like, fuck this, and takes off on her bike. But while that's happening, Jesse takes the girl into the woods, strangles her until he thinks she's dead. And while he's running out of the woods, the girl who survived had gotten cops and they catch him. He pleads guilty to assault and is imprisoned in the Adult Diagnostic and Treatment Center in Avenel, New Jersey for 10 years, but he only gets 6 years.
Mm.
He's let out after that. And a therapist says that he thinks that he would eventually... he'll eventually commit another sex crime, but she doesn't think he'll commit murder. So let him fucking go after 6 years. So when he leaves this facility, he moves in to, he moves into a town. Where's the town name? Okay. He moves into Hamilton Township, New Jersey, into a house with two other sex offenders that he had met at the facility.
What?
Yep.
Their plan or like halfway house style?
Their plan.
Dude.
There's no halfway house style in the, it's the,
they're out and free.
Yeah. It's the early 90s.
Oh.
There's no halfway house style. So,
it's the early 90s. So, I was thinking this was like 70s. I had
He went in 1981. He goes in for 6 or 7 years. So he moves out. And so he's living at this time.
Okay.
In Hamilton Township, New Jersey. One of the sex offenders he lived with, named Brian Jenin, he had joined the Big Brothers so he could have access to young boys. So he gets out. The other one is Joseph Cifelli. He had been charged with carnal abuse and sodomy of a 5-year-old girl. And he pled guilty to 3 counts of impairing the morals of a minor. What kind of fucking impairing the morals? No, you're a fucking rapist.
You're a rapist.
It's not... You're not fucking with the morals, man. You're like, okay. So... across the street from their house and one house down. And this street, I saw it on a video. It's a tiny street. It's like, it's a small neighborhood. And this is like this is a small town, you know, families. It's not a dangerous town. Right across the street lives the Kenka family. And part of that family was 7-year-old Megan. So... on July 29th, 1994, Megan walks by his house on the way to a friend's house. And Jesse tells her, as he had done in other fucking times, that he has an animal to show her. He says that he has a puppy inside his house and wants to show her. And she goes with him into his room. He rapes her and sodomizes her and slams her head into the dresser. He puts plastic bags over her head so she won't bleed in his room and strangles her with a belt. And then he puts her body into a toy chest and dumps her in the nearby Mercer County Park. It's fucking horrifying. So that night, Megan's family's freaking out. There's a search for her. Jesse participates in it, handing out flyers. The police go door to door. He tells them he had seen Megan riding her bicycle around 2:30 in the afternoon, but he also tells Maureen, Megan's mom, some other weird shit about seeing her before dinner. His story is weird. He's like nervous and sweating when he's telling these stories.
Wait, and so sorry. He went to the mom and was like,
Was like, have you seen them? Okay. And he was, you know, he was like,
he wasn't keeping his own story straight.
And he was offering too much information. And
okay.
And so the next day, I guess one of the roommates had convinced him to confess. One of the roommates was like, you need to fucking confess.
Fucking in the bowels of hell, they decide they're going to get fucking...
This guy's like, I'm fucking clean, man. You need to get the fuck out of here. The next day, he goes in and confesses to investigators, and he leads the police to Megan's body. He confesses to some of it, but not all of the aspects of the sexual assault. And so once the autopsy happened, the police were like, yeah, but here's more information. And he's like, okay, yeah, I did that too. Like, he's a fucking creepazoid, and he knows, like, he's not crazy, and he's not mentally impaired, because he knows to keep this certain information from the cops. He knows that he should put a bag over her head so that blood won't get places, because
yeah, he's aware of exactly what's going on.
Even though he had a really low self-esteem. He had a really low IQ, but he knew the things to hide something.
He was smart enough to cover his own fucking tracks.
Right. So there's bloodstained hair, fiber samples, and also Megan had fucking fought back, and there was a bite mark on Jesse's hand because she had fought really hard. And he said that the reason he killed her was because... she fought and he was scared she was going to tell her mom, which is utter fucking bullshit. So his trial is in May of 1997. He's found guilty of purposeful or knowing murder, 2 counts of felony murder, first degree kidnapping, and 4 counts of first degree aggravated assault. And in June, he's sentenced to death. and in a statement says, "Okay, I'm sorry for what I've done to Megan. I pray for her and her family every day. I have to live with this and what I've done for the rest of my life."
Yeah, it's very sad for you, Stephen.
"I ask you to let me live so I someday can understand and have an understanding why something like this could happen. Thanks."
Wait, did he say thanks at the end?
He said thanks at the end.
Oh, sorry, wait. His name is Stephen, right?
No!
I'm so sorry.
Are you kidding?
That's hilarious. No, I swear. I just added Stephen's name into that. That's so fucking funny. So I'm sorry.
No.
My full apology.
No, his name is Jesse Temendigas.
Oh, Jesse. That's right.
Jesse Temendigas.
I'm so sorry.
Oh, Stephen. This is not Stephen's episode.
Oh, honey. Oh, no.
Okay. So.
Okay. We know, so we can just do narcissism off the checklist of, like, all of a sudden, a young girl's rape and murder that he committed is sad for him.
"And I hope someday I can understand why this happened. Not why I did this, even, would be better."
You're right, because it's such a mystery.
Yeah. Why did this happen?
The thing I did.
Yeah.
Fully with my eyes open, knowing full well what was happening the entire
time. Right. And this is when he starts to say that his dad had sexually abused him and was, you know, which is like horrifying if it's true, but it doesn't. I mean, so many people, like, this happens to people and they don't go on to do these horrible things. They become better people. Or they don't become better people, but they don't fucking molest children. You know what I mean?
Yes. Also, I'm thinking, what year Willem Nendez? 94, 93?
Something like that, yeah.
I mean, I'm just wondering if, like, because did you say this was 92? Before or after?
He went to, he like went
when
on
he
trial.
Made that claim.
Oh, that was like 97.
I mean, I'm just saying that when those things get into, like, the popular culture.
Here's what I need to say. Yeah. Like, this is working.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Yes.
Totally.
That, I mean, could have happened. Would, no, just I, saying that suddenly it's like this be, starts to become a rationale.
Yeah, like try this. You should try this defense.
Oh, Stephen.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Okay. No, his name was Elvis. So here's the positive on this horrifying story.
Yeah, this is fucking rotten.
I know. So Michelle's parents, Richard and Maureen Kenka, go on a fucking crusade to change the law. They demand mandatory community notification of sex offenders.
Yep. Megan's law.
Megan's fucking law. This is Megan's law, which I thought we should all know where it came from.
Fuck yes, we should.
It's important. This is why it's not just some... I didn't tell this horrifying child murder story, which I would do. I'm not fucking arguing that I'm better than that, but this is an important one. And I was studying some other murder today to do, and that came up, and I was like, Jesus, I don't know enough about this.
That's... I love that. That's really good.
So I studied this and I was like, this is my murder. This is important. And the one that I found can come up because it has to do with Megan's Law later. But let's get to this. You know what I mean? So Richard and Maureen, badass motherfuckers, go on a crusade to change the law. They demand mandatory community notification of sex offenders, which is the thing of, like, when a sex offender moves into your community, they have to notify the whole community that there's a sex offender living there. They can't live near schools or daycares, all this shit.
Can't fucking join the big brothers.
No, you motherfuckers. So they say that the registration requires. So there was a Jacob Wetterling Act originally, which is, we all know the Jacob Wetterling story, which is horrifying, but that only required sex offenders to register with local law enforcement. So they didn't have to tell anyone about it except the law enforcement. And they said that Megan would still be alive if they had known the criminal history of this dude. So in 1994, New Jersey enacts the law. And in 96, President Bill Clinton signed a federal Megan's Law. And it's basically amending the Jacob Wetterling Act. It sets guidelines for the state statutes requiring states to notify the public, although officials could decide how much public notification is necessary based on the level of danger posed by the offender, which is kind of troubling. So there's three tiers, and based on those tiers, they have to tell a certain amount of people, which sucks. And I can tell you what's in each tier if you want, but I don't know if it's even fucking worth it.
Like, do you have to list acts that are super upsetting?
Pretty much. Yeah. I mean, it's all troubling, and it's, you know, there's this whole argument now about First Amendment rights and all this shit, and like, you know, freedom of speech. It's just like, it's an ugly thing where you're just like, don't molest children. You lose your fucking rights when you are a sex offender.
Yeah.
You lose your rights, and yep, you can't fucking argue your freedom of whatever the shit.
I mean, they want them to do speech, right? Is it like their freedom of privacy?
Yes, that's
yeah,
the one.
Yeah.
Which is like, well, you
don't get to have it.
You lost that.
You don't get to have it.
No.
Also, tell your friends in your fucking apartment you're sharing with all the other sex offenders. Yeah. Let them know if that's something they're going to continue to do if they get caught and prosecuted for it.
Yeah.
They're not going to be able to have that privacy.
No.
To be a child rapist anymore. Yeah. Sorry.
It's not. Like, so tier one is someone who's convicted and served less than 1 year of imprisonment for something like, it's for something light, like receiving or possessing child porn.
Oh.
That's tier one. Like, that's a light fucking thing for them that you don't have to tell everyone. Or sexual assault against an adult that involved sexual contact but not completed or attempted sexual assault. So they try to fucking rape an adult but didn't fucking go through with it. They're not a sex, they are not, they're not scary.
They don't
enough
have to come and knock on your door, nope, and say, I did this.
Nope.
Okay.
So you don't know that there's a rapist, attempted rapist.
Attempted rapist. Because this is the classic difference between attempted and succeeded.
Fuck you.
Like, well, because all it is it's just going to lead to, now they're going to succeed. That's yeah, all, it's that.
So this time they're going to do it. They're going to kill them so they can't be identified and brought to trial. Right? Because the second tier is when people who have had one conviction get another one. So they're not going to want that other one. They're going to kill their fucking victim instead of letting them live. A bunch of other shits. Tier three is just like, you don't want to fucking meet one of these motherfuckers
yeah,
ever. Anyways.
And are those the people knocking on your door?
I don't know if that's actually a thing.
Okay.
I don't know if they do that. I think
I'm just thinking of that part in The Big Lebowski
totally,
where Jesus knocks on people's doors
totally,
and immediately gets punched in the face.
That's amazing. No, I think that the cops or like the, they have to hand out flyers door to door. But there's this crazy thing too, where you're not allowed to tell anyone about the flyer you got. So we get fucking, we don't have freedom of speech to tell our friends that there's a fucking child molester living in your neighborhood. Legally.
What?
Yeah.
How is that?
I don't know. And let me say that this is from a,
well,
like,
you can leave it on the coffee table and yeah, point to
oopsie
it without
doopsie
saying anything.
Also, fuck.
Tip tap.
Also, this is from an episode of 60 Minutes in 2000. So I could have changed by then.
Oh, yeah.
I didn't do my research. So, okay.
You can't keep up with every goddamn law they pass.
I'm sorry. I'm a busy woman murdering sex offenders. So Megan's Law, sex offenders, they're required to register with local police when they're moved into a neighborhood. And it's like so amazing that that's a huge change. It's not, it's
huge.
Not.
Hey, Karen, you know that feeling when you're stressed out and your heart starts to pound and your mind is racing?
I do. I know it well.
Well, while there's no cure for stress, therapy can help shape your response to it. And since May is Mental Health Awareness Month, there's no better time to try Talkspace.
When you sign up for Talkspace, you'll receive a personalized match with a therapist or psychologist, typically within 48 hours.
Forbes rates Talkspace as the number one online therapy platform, plus their licensed professionals are in-network with almost all major insurance companies.
Once you meet your therapy goals, or if you want to cancel for any reason, Talkspace will provide you with a prorated refund for unused time. I feel like these days people understand the importance of therapy, but the difficult part is just taking that first step. It took me months to make my first therapy appointment. I was so scared. I had a lot of ideas in my head about it. And that's why I think Talkspace is such a good idea, because making it so approachable will just get you there sooner. Then you can actually get in there, figure out what you need, talk to an actual professional, and be on your way to solving some stuff that you might want
to
solve.
To celebrate Mental Health Awareness Month and the power of talking it out in therapy, Talkspace is offering our listeners $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80.
Go to Talkspace.com/MFM and use promo code SPACE80.
To match with a licensed therapist today, go to Talkspace.com/MFM and enter promo code SPACE80 and get $80 off your first month and show your support for our show.
That's Talkspace.com/MFM. Enter promo code SPACE80.
Goodbye.
There's something about the sound of an old-timey cash register that really takes me back.
I know. It sounds like someone is about to hand me an ice cream cone, but it also sounds like we just sold some merch.
That's right. And if you're a Shopify user like us, you know that this sound means you just made a sale.
Shopify has helped millions of businesses sell their products online, but did you know they also offer the same support for brick and mortar stores?
From accepting payments to managing inventory, they have everything you need to sell in person. So give your point of sale system a serious upgrade with Shopify.
Shopify POS tracks sales across all your locations. That way, you'll always know what you have in stock and where.
They also provide reliable tech that fits your unique retail needs, like turning a tablet into a credit card reader.
And if you're looking to reach new customers, check out Shopify's marketing tools. They're easy to use, and they integrate with all social media platforms.
With Shopify, we have a powerful partner for managing our sales. And if you're a business owner, you can too.
Do retail right with Shopify.
Sign up for a $1 per month trial period today at shopify.com/murder. And here's the important note, that promo code is all lowercase.
So go to shopify.com/murder and take your retail business to the next level.
That's shopify.com/murder. Again, don't forget, the code is all lowercase.
Goodbye.
But super important.
Unfortunately, in 2007, the death penalty was abolished in New Jersey. I don't want to, I'm not trying to start a fucking fight about the death penalty, but I wish this motherfucker were dead. So Jesse Temendikos just is now having life in prison,
mm-hmm.
which is good. I want him to suffer there too. You know what I mean?
I do. Yeah.
So everything is fucked.
No,
so it's wonderful. No, it's not. It's neither.
Look, it's all horrible. It's all horrible, but yeah, you're right. At least something good came out of it where it's like, at least there's some progress in some way.
And I'm, you know, her parents, I'm impressed with them. And it's amazing that they, and the, you know, there's an interview with her mom who was just like, I was obsessed. She made the cops let her go into that room where her daughter died. And she couldn't stop thinking about it. And they finally fucking demolished the house and built a park for Megan. And the mom's like, I can't go to the park. Like, she's broken. She was like, I wanted to die. And but, you know, they did something with it and have probably helped an innumerable, is that a word? Innumerable amount of children.
Prevention. They'll have no idea how many people they save.
They'll never know.
Yeah.
So.
Wow. Yeah, awesome. Megan's like that one. And also learning.
Yeah.
Learning about what that even, you hear that phrase and you don't know what it means.
Totally. I had no idea.
Yeah. Oh man.
How you doing?
I'm pretty good. Yourself?
What do you, what's the thing you like this week?
Huh?
Is there anything?
I just like to say sorry to Steven.
You like the fact that you're saying sorry to Steven?
No, it's separate. It's Steven's apology corner. I just didn't
apologize. Yeah.
It's really been bad this episode between Steven and I. Usually it's fake. I like to do some pretend yelling at the beginning. We have a whole thing, and this
Steven crying isn't
this
real.
This one looks wrong.
He looks real broken up.
But here's the good part about it. What? If you would see him right now. Everybody at home, he has this like an elf hat on. So if he were crying, it suits him. Like it looks good.
And he could use it to cover his face. I mean, it's a beanie. What are those things called that you have?
Balaclava.
That
one?
Yeah. Okay. Well, I'll go because I actually wrote it down this time. So I wouldn't be like, I don't know what I like. I like the show Fleabag on Amazon.
What is it? I've never heard of it.
Oh my! Well, A, you would love it because it's fucking British.
Because it's all reenactments.
Yeah. No, it's like the show Search Party that we love.
Yes.
But it's this fucking British chick who's too pretty for the part she's playing, which is like a mess.
Mm-hmm.
She's a fucking train wreck of a person. It's 6 episodes, but it's all like people that you would know from British procedurals, and she's a mess. But there's this like crazy arc that happens that is like kind of a surprise. It's just such a beautiful, messy show.
Oh yes.
And like, I don't fucking cry at shows ever. I fucking started crying at the end.
What?
And I buried my face into Vince because I was so embarrassed. And I was like, he was just kind to her.
I gotta see that
kindness. It's so, you'll watch them all in one sitting.
I love that.
It's so good. Everyone, you'll love it.
You said Amazon.
It's on Amazon. It's called Fleabag.
I can't figure out how to watch TV on Amazon. And I think I have all the things to do it. I just don't. When I go to do it every time, I'm like, I'm not young. I can't do this.
Have 21-year-old Steven come over. Well, he hates you now, so he's not going to do it.
And make him a casseroles, all these apologies. Look, I don't think that you are a child murderer. I never have. I don't know why it came out. I guess I felt bad that I didn't receive. I was confused about your goddamn theme song. I'm sorry. It's funny.
Karen doesn't like surprises.
I just was confused.
There's a chick who's a main character on this show who is from like a British procedural detective murder show. So you'll love it.
I'll recognize her?
You're going to recognize a lot of people that I wouldn't recognize. Okay, and you will recognize her.
Awesome.
Yes. And Breck Elman randomly is in it.
No way.
Yeah, you're like, what the fuck is Breck Elman doing in
this? That's awesome.
It's so weird.
I thought that you were saying her character, she's playing a girl who's from a procedural where I'm like, that's awesome.
No, but you'll love it.
Okay.
It brought me a lot of joy because it gave me feelings again.
Good.
And I don't have those.
I like those.
Yeah.
Listen, I'm getting it back into feelings for 2017.
Yeah.
Like, even just trying to say, I think I want to have feelings again.
That's
to people that would actually listen to me. I know. I think it's a good idea.
That's
it's healthy.
Yeah. Right? I wanted to, you know what? I had therapy today and, I want to have reality again. Mm-hmm. I mean it.
I know what you mean. I think.
Cause I think my therapist and I did this, what is it called? Not activity, but like...
Oh, like you did a... I know what you mean.
You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. What is the word? Lisa Frank.
You did a... you drew weird unicorns? Yes.
We did this... We had a...
Exercise.
Exercise. Thank you. I want to get my fucking memory. I want to move... What if this
it's
house
gone.
Had
it's,
black it, mold this whole time?
Oh, that would be
my
amazing.
Brain, the reason...
But then you go to the new house and then you're like Bradley Cooper in that movie where you like can see everything and you know
smart.
Everything.
I'm just too smart. Yeah, and I'm like, I got to move back because this is really overwhelming. It's too much...
I did better the other way.
It's too much for me. We do these exercises where we sit in reality, and it makes me realize that I've been disassociating with the world because it's easier to filter in when I think that there's a different plane of existence and this is all fake and virtual reality.
Mm-hmm.
And that every book I read is like more real than life.
Yes.
Are you saying yes, like you're scared of me and you think I'm crazy?
No, I am not.
Is that crazy? So we do it and it's scary and overwhelming and she's like...
How do I say yes in a way that would... Because that was the realest yes I've said in a while.
Oh, cool. Okay.
No, that's all... Yeah. And I hear you 100%.
And then she's like, leave it here, though. Don't go do that because you'll have a fucking panic attack if you do it in real life, so...
Well, yeah, because you can't stay in too long.
No.
Everybody copes in different ways. It's like my therapist said to me one time when I had quit, you know, don't drink anymore, quit doing anything extra, quit. And then I had quit sugar and I'd quit this and I'd quit that.
Yeah.
And she goes, well, you got to do something because everybody needs a little bit of oblivion. And I was like, you're fucking really good at your job, Michelle.
Everybody needs a bit of oblivion.
Yeah.
It's not lower back tattoo.
Big butterfly underneath.
Beautiful.
Put it in quotes. Misspell oblivion. Everybody needs a little bit of Olivian.
Of oblivion.
We're not aiming for perfection here.
There's no perfection happening.
We don't want it.
We're not
feelings into it.
And reality.
Feelings and pieces of reality at times.
Bits and pieces.
Then dip back out and go into your other world.
Because I can't.
I know I have one.
Okay.
But mine I haven't seen yet. I'm so excited for the new FX series starring Tom Hardy called Taboo, where he plays a guy that he's like on the secret police force in London in 1814.
Oh my God.
And it is, the preview for it looks insanely beautiful. It looks like it's shot, like it looks super real. Like my way of disappearing from reality is going into TV shows and going into Jane Austen movies and shit where I'm like, it is no longer this year. We are now back in the time where you sit in your room and write letters and see if somebody wants to come and sit in the salon with you.
I don't do that with movies. I do it with books because movies, I'm like, that guy has a fucking headshot. That piece of shit, motherfucker. Like, someone dressed that person in the wardrobe like assistant is so miserable, and like someone threw coffee on her today. Like, I can't watch. I have to make it up in my head.
You gotta pick movies that keep you in, that don't do push that. You out.
Okay, Fleabag was one of the only ones I've been able, because I was able to, the one I just talked about.
Yeah.
I was able to identify with her so much.
So it was so real to you that you never left.
Yes.
You stayed in that reality.
That's probably why I liked it. And Search Party is like, it was real. I can't do that with movies. So, and that's why when you, as soon as you said Tom Hardy, I was out.
Because
everything about that sounds amazing.
But he will take you out.
I thought Tom Hardy and whatever Hardy were, the football player, were the same person. He's just
Tom
like
Brady?
Yeah. He's just like a pretty.
The Tom family?
Yeah.
He's pretty. He's insanely pretty. In this, though.
It's like if Justin fucking Timberlake were playing him. It's the same thing.
But let's talk about body difference. Okay. Tom Hardy is a beefy.
He's Hardy.
Slice.
He is a beefy slice of what?
A beef? Mince pie. Oh. I don't know. Something British. The man is. I mean, he's played a boxer like 17 different times.
A what?
A boxer.
Oh, I thought you said something between a. I don't know what you said.
Yeah, it was a boxer.
Okay.
Maybe I put a little slide on that X.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I'm just saying he's insanely well built. If you ever take a chance and watch Peaky Blinders.
I tried.
Okay.
I don't like attractive, well built actors. I want to cut them down to size.
Okay.
And make them feel like shit about themselves. I can't.
Well then, yeah, no Tom Hardy vehicle is going to be good for you, because the man exudes confidence to the point of insane cockiness.
Okay. I feel bad that everything you're saying, I'm like, I don't like that. I don't like that. I don't like that.
It's just one of those episodes. But I will say this.
I mean, who cares?
Who cares? In this, I think there's all kinds of extra shit happening, because like everything I see, and I've only seen the trailer, so what do I know?
It sounds awesome in
every
way.
He's painted, like, he's crawling through mud. He's like the
fucking... He's a cat man. Hasn't come out yet.
The other episode.
Yeah.
he is doing all these things where I feel like he's fighting the pretty as hard as he possibly can, which in and of itself might be distracting.
And maybe he needs to prove himself that he's like, I'm not just a pretty face, because like...
Yeah, I don't know that Tom Hardy's going to be sitting around doubting himself in any way at any fucking time
in his life.
Wouldn't
that be nice? Can you imagine?
I mean, or maybe he does privately. But he just did you see that he made a video and it's Tom Hardy reads you to sleep?
No.
Uh-huh. If you don't hate that.
I'll try it.
It's
I like
on
being put
the
to sleep.
Internet. Oh, that's true. I think it's just him being insanely sexy. But I don't... It's not like he's my type sexiness-wise. It's what I'm attracted to sexually is 1814 London. I want to be there.
Dude,
so
bring
back.
Me the plague on a fucking silver platter and tell me about it on Tom Hardy's abs.
Oh wait,
that's Tom Brady.
Can I do another one?
Yes.
Sorry.
Always.
This will dig us back out. No, I mean, we were already out. Sorry. But I mean, this is one I've actually experienced. Because that thing could be, who knows?
Yeah.
That's my own trailer. That's my review of a trailer. Somebody, and I'm sorry, I can't remember your name, a lovely gal on Twitter retweeted me a Riz Ahmed tweet where he is, did you see that picture? Where he's, Steven knows what I'm talking about. Riz Ahmed is squatting down by a personalized license plate.
Oh my God, oh my God.
That says, I'm sad. And he's throwing up like the peace sign.
No, he isn't.
And he just looks kind of like neutral. And she just sent it to me and just said, hey girl. And I just wrote back to her and said, I've never been happier.
Oh my God.
It's the best picture.
I'm sad.
I'm sad. And he doesn't look sad at all. Also, he is doing amazing humanitarian work to raise money for to raise money for people in Syria.
That's amazing.
He fucking tweets about it all the time. He has a whole thing where it's like, send me $10 and get five people to send $10. Like, he is busting his ass to raise money for Syrian refugees, and it just is like, well, you're a super great actor that was just nominated for a Golden Globe, and you look so good in a fucking bow tie, and you have a good sense of humor because you know enough to squat next to the I'm sad license plate. Oh, and you're gonna
raise
money.
What's Tom Hardy ever fucking done? Is it Tom Hardy?
What's Tom Hardy ever squatted next to?
Yeah, nothing. 1814.
Yeah, we'll see what he squats next to in this fucking show. Now I'm mad at the show.
I should have another one.
Okay. Oh, yes. Oh. What if we start doing 10 each?
I have the episode of Black Mirror.
Yes.
Called San Junipero.
Didn't see it.
Oh my God. It's a lesbian love story. I shouldn't have said that. That's a spoiler. It is the most. Just go watch San Junipero. It's like the most beautiful love story. So it's just, I shouldn't have said
that. Such a good show. Charlie yes. Booker, the guy that writes that show.
I think he wrote and directed this episode. That might be wrong too, but
I bet he did.
It's not even a Black Mirror episode. It's like such a beautiful story that okay, you don't see it. Very often on, you know, television. Cause it's like
spoiler alert.
Cause there's lesbians, but it's like, it's just a love story.
Okay. I'll watch it.
And it's heartbreaking and beautiful.
I was actually avoiding Black Mirror because when I go to my TV escape, I just want it to be an actual escape. So when it's a thing like, look at how your phone is going to murder your eyes. It's like, I don't want to do this right now.
First episode. It's so good, but it'll make you stop using your phone ever again.
Good luck.
It's so good. Bryce, what's her name?
Dallas Howard. Is she in it?
I think that's her, unless it's another redhead.
Jessica Chastain? Those are the two that look exactly the same.
I know. It's not Jessica Chastain. I think it's Bryce
Dallas Howard.
She's so good.
Okay, I'll watch it.
What other shows do we want to recommend? Let's recommend these shows to you.
Every single show on TV now.
We talk about it even though we don't know.
We don't know. Who cares?
We don't care.
Steven, go. We don't care. Bring us out. Cue that fucking song as we go out. Thanks for listening, everybody. You better fucking cue that song. I swear to God. Steven, do it. Drive your thing.
Steven, cue it.
Thanks for listening. We love you guys. Thank you for all your interaction with us.
Your angel babies. We're at myfavoritemurder.com. Like, follow us on shit and like go to things and
be a part of Steven. Tell us when you're ready.
Tell us when you're ready. Not yet.
We love you. And stay sexy.
And don't get murdered. Elvis, you want a cookie? Want a cookie?
Yeah, he does.
Want a cookie? Elvis,
answer your
goddamn
mother.
Cookie. There we go. Play us out. Play us out, Steven.
Bye.
Sing along, Karen. I can't do it.
Elvis is singing along.
Oh, yeah. Elvis, sing it. Elvis, sing it. Cookie. Everyone who's trying to fall asleep listening to this episode is like, fuck you. Elvis, you want a cookie? We did it. Last episode here.
Bye.
Goodbye. I should give up my address now.